Amen. I'm going to read Mark 11, 21 and 22, 23 and 24, and it says, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And of course, our margins, some margins may say have the faith of God, and that is true. He's talking about this. That now he begins, it does mean have the faith of God, but I want to focus on having faith in God, and then he continues to talk about faith. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." That's where faith comes from. "But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That's good news to me. Because I don't have to see it. All I have to do is believe that the things that I'm saying shall come to pass, I'm going to have it. It says, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. So there's things in our lives that we're waiting on God to do. And I'm talking about if he desires for you to prosper, then I need to find out what are the things in my life that are causing, what am I not prospering in? What things soever, it says in verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Owning things be something that might be something you desire? Yeah, things, stuff. God's not opposed to having things. And so things could be something that if I believe and don't doubt in my heart and begin to say, I shall have this. You may not have two nickels to rub together. And you may not even have the wherewithal. When I say wherewithal, I don't mean your smarts. I mean you may not have money or the prospect of owning it. But if I believe that I'm going to have it and not doubt in my heart, it says I shall have it. I don't have to understand how I'm going to get that. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this. He said he struggled for the longest time how a brown cow could give white milk. He said, and then also he said, you could churn it and get yellow butter. He said he struggled with trying to understand that. But he said, you know what? I don't have to, all the time he's trying to understand it, he's enjoying it. He's enjoying the milk and enjoying the butter. Amen. I don't have to understand how I'm going to get something. All I need to do is what? Believe, say that I'm going to have this, and God will help me get that. In other words, when I say help me, he's going to show me how to. Amen. I don't know what it is you're believing for. It could be a house. It could be a car. It could be for whatever it is. God's not against having things. What pleases him is faith. You know, I think sometimes we just need to just set the markers high. It could be something you're believing with. I've heard deacon couple down in New York, when their children were young, they got a hold of these principles. They got a hold of them, and they started to say, we will never pay for our children's education. They began to say it and believe it. They said, we will never pay one dime for our children's college education. Now, they were young. The children were. When it got to them going to the place of going into college, two of them have graduated from West Point and didn't pay one dime. They didn't pay one dime. And one of the girls, I forget where, what college she went to. I know two of them went to West Point, have since graduated. One, I forget what undergrad school she went to, but then she played semi-professional basketball in Europe for a number of years. And then she came back and she went through that process in her life. And then she got into Harvard, got her law degree, and she's now working down in Washington, D.C. at a very high, prominent law firm near her brother. They didn't pay one dime, not for any of their children. God opened doors for grants and various other things that were available. They didn't plead poor. They both have. And here's the other thing. They opened their house up, and God blessed them. They lived in Monroe, New York. They had a home there, and they opened it up for missionaries and so forth that would come in and so forth. Off, you know, the field, and they would just help them for a period of time. But then God opened up a mansion to them that they weren't looking for. This has got 9 bedrooms. It was the clubhouse that had gone into disrepair. It has 9 bedrooms. It's a massive house. When I say big, it's big. And they refurbished it, and they got it for a good price. It had been boarded up. It was the gated community's clubhouse for years. It sits on the top of a mountain, overlooks. It's just a beautiful place. They weren't looking for it, but what were they doing? Because they took this and refurbished it, and they've got all these bedrooms. And they let missionaries come in, and they can stay for 2, 3, 4, 5 days or however long. And they use it for that purpose. And they live there. And so all I'm saying is that you can start to believe in your heart and doubt not. And begin to decree some things. If you've always wanted your own business, begin to say, I shall have my own business. Whatever that is, begin to say it and doubt not in your heart. God's not a respecter of persons. He'll give it to you because it says right here. That's a thing, isn't it? Owning your own business. It sure is. Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So, my point in all saying that is that when you talk about believing, you have to attach saying to it. You have to. I mean, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, it says, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken or said, right? So you've got to believe and speak. So that's part of the equation. You got to believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 12. Now, one thing about faith, I can't believe for you. Because it says, and doubt not in your heart. So I could have faith for something, but you could be doubting in your heart. So I can't believe for you. You have to believe for you. You're the one that has to not doubt in your heart and believe that the things that you are saying shall come to pass. Not just me. I can be in agreement with you, but I can't believe for you. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul is not saying, I know what I believe. He's saying, I know whom I believed. Hallelujah. He's saying, I know him. So we're talking about our faith in God. It's knowing him. It's having an intimate, personal relationship with him. Hallelujah. Knowing his voice, knowing him, not just his word. And all of those are important. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse 11, let's look at chapter 11 and verse 1. And Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance, in my margin it says ground or confidence, of things, there was a word things again, hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the things hoped for are not seen. And what's the evidence of this, the things hoped for? It's my faith. It's my confidence in him, which what we were sharing in 1 John 5. This is the confidence that I have in him. So my confidence needs to be in him. Some of the translation says, faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Hallelujah. It's a solid ground, a conviction. And we were sharing last week, faith, when faith is there, you know it. That's like asking somebody, how do you know you're in love with that person? I know it. How do you know it? I just know it. I'm convinced of it. Somebody wouldn't get married to somebody unless they were convinced or persuaded that that was the person that they would be getting married to. Right? So that's a natural example, but faith is convinced. You know it when it's there. You're convinced of something. And that forms the assurance or the ground or the confidence of the things that you hope for, the things you don't see. I'm convinced that God's word is true, and I'm convinced of it. And he will do what he said he will do on my behalf. And it'll come to pass. I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't know it. You've got to start saying. Now your mind will say, you'll never have that. And when the doctors say to you, there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. Well, at that point, you have to make a choice. You've got to decide, am I going to believe what they say or am I going to believe what God says? And there's so many stories in times past, and some in this current age, where people have just decided, I'm going to believe God and not the doctor. The doctor gives them a fatal report. You know, I ask this question because we've heard this. I've heard people say it. I've done it myself. Not that often. I grew up in Christ. But how many have heard this? Just believe with me for a good report. Well, let me ask this question. This is a good report. Who shall believe what? The report of the Lord. Yeah, me. This is the report of the Lord. And so, this is a good report. And so, here's my question. If you are in faith, then how many good reports before you get in faith? Or how many good reports before that shakes your faith? You see? And what if you got a good report and they misdiagnosed something? And you got a good report and you go, whoopee! And you let go or you loosen or you slacken off. And then all of a sudden, it's a bad report. Then what? What do we do now? We hook back up again? You understand my point? This is a good report. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, or not by a good or bad report. This is the report of the Lord right here. It's a good report. And so this report says, he's my healer. He's my provider. He's my healer before I got a bad report. He's my provider before I had a negative financial report. He's already my provider. He's already my healer. Amen. And faith releases the power of God in my life. So it really doesn't matter what kind of report comes. Because he, and verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible or not possible to please who? Him. That's who I have to have faith in. So it says, if I have faith in God, that pleases him. So not having faith in him as my provider, not having faith in him as my healer, doesn't please him. It doesn't please God. So this says here, for he that does what? Cometh to God, must believe that what? He is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sometimes, I remember a minister telling this story. They were believing God for some, you know, to pay off something in the ministry. And it took a number of years to pay off. But they were believing it for a certain way to happen. And at the end, when it got paid off, they began to ask God, how come it took so long? And the Lord said, did you ever miss a payment? He said, were you ever without? No. So it doesn't matter how it got paid. See, this person wanted it all kind of in this fashion. But the Lord said, you never missed a payment on that which you owed. You never were behind. And you never lacked in any other area. So it really doesn't matter. He is the provider. How it comes, doesn't matter. But it came. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah, the Old Testament. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, and look at verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." "And maketh flesh his arm." Whose report are we relieving? "And whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." You know, there's a lot of people today, there's millions of people today who are in this position. They're not trusting God. They're trusting in man. They're trusting in the government. They're trusting in whatever it is they're trusting. There's a lot that are in this position today. They're not trusting in God. Now look at verse 7. Blessed, say blessed.
Blessed
is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Oh, good. Boy, that's good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We're blessed, would you not say? Why are we blessed? Because we're trusting in the Lord. For what? For whatever it is, I trust him. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." That means Christ became a curse for us so that we don't have to experience the curse. But you know, it never says we were redeemed from the blessings. It just says we were redeemed from the curse of the law. But the blessings still are ours, Old Testament and New Testament. We're blessed if we trust in the Lord. This says here, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." That means when he went to the cross, he was cursed. Hallelujah. Verse 14, "that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles." How? "Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit." How? "Through faith." So we receive these promises through Christ, through faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's say that. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed because I trust in the Lord. Glory to God. I am not cursed. I am blessed because I trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. I trust in him. Did I say it always feels good? No. It doesn't always feel good. I may not understand it. But we need to understand that our hope is in the Lord. Our trust is in God. When all else fails, I'm trusting in him. Hallelujah. You know, one thing it's good to do, and I share this, because growing up, you know, I saw my parents trust in God. They began to share things as we got older, how, you know, they lack certain things, and they trusted God for certain things. And it, as they say, it came out of nowhere, through people, provided. Well, they did the best they could at that time. And I know a little more from the scripture than they did, and we should. We should grow in faith. We should grow in the Word of God. I thank God for my parents trusting in God, exposing us to that, raising us up in church. But we need to grow. We need to grow beyond that and grow in faith. And one thing I always say is that you need to, if you're a parent, you need to wean your children off you. Now, don't get rattled. What I mean by that is I don't mean that your children shouldn't respect you, shouldn't honor you, but what I'm sharing is that you are not El Shaddai. And you need to teach your children to begin to trust God for things that maybe you can't provide. You can't provide them with the money sometimes for a college education. Well, how are they going to get that? They don't need to be thinking about it when they need it. They need to be thinking about it a long time ahead of time and beginning to say, I shall have. I believe that I will have this, and I won't have to pay, and I'm going to reach this, and I'm going to do this. And so that when they make these transitions out of your house to live on their own, it's not a shock to their nervous system. And their soul, like, oh God, what do I do now? No, they've been living this. They've been taught how to walk by faith and not by sight as little ones. That's the role of the parent. Train them up in the things of God. Train them up to depend on God. Look to God, not me. I'm not El Shaddai. He is. And he can take care of them a whole lot better than you can. And they can set their goals high where you can't even begin to accommodate them. And they should. And we need to teach them that. And that has nothing to do with respect. That has nothing to do with honor. What it has to do is training them. Training our children up. And that's some of the things that I see now clear that, you know, my parents didn't know all of that. They trained us up to be moral, to be right, to be good citizens and all of that. Love God. But there's some things that we need to go and beyond in how we train our children up. Would you not say amen to that? Amen. I do say amen. You may say, oh me, but I say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read some scripture here, a few scriptures here. You can write these down, but I'm going to read these. These are just some reference scriptures. Mark. You can write this down, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. I guess if you can get there as quick as I can turn these pages, then so be it. Mark 9, 23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. My Bible has this in red. That means to me this is Jesus speaking. This is coming from the Father. Jesus said, I do nothing. I say those things that I hear, and I do those things that I see the Father do. So the Father is telling him through Jesus, this is his will. This is the will of God. For who? Not for him. For us. He said here, if thou canst what? Believe. All things, talking about things here, are possible to him that believeth. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it possible for my body to be restored to health when the doctors say it's not possible? Yes. Why? He just said so. He just said so. He said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Brother Hagin was telling this story. He said, you know, of course, he had all of these problems in his body. He had a heart ailment. He had a blood disease. He had all of these things. And he said any one of them could prove to be fatal. But he said when he went, when he was young, they took some blood out of him. And he said his blood was orange looking. And he said, why is my blood orange? He said, that doesn't look normal. He said, and of course the doctors, they give him all of this, you know, he said in layman's terms. And of course, Brother Hagin said, I didn't know if it was leukemia or what it was. He said, but the doctor said, look, in layman's terms, your white blood corpuscles are eating up the red corpuscles quicker than they can be regenerated. And he said, if any of these other diseases, he said, you have or problems, he said, they could kill you. But this one, he said, there's nothing, no possibility for it to be fixed or healed. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. When man says it's not possible, but with God, it is possible. To who? The one who believes. So the one who believes has got to believe and doubt not and begin to do what? Say that it is possible. And say, I know, thank you very much, but with God it is possible. And he hath healed me. And the healing power of God is working in my body. And you tell him, right now, it's working. It's working. Do I feel anything change? No. But it is working. That's no different whether it's health or finances. You may not have, you know, I saw, because I have, you know, being at RLCC for so long, one young man, he went to MIT, bright young man, very bright. He went through chemical engineering school. He got out. He worked mainly in the for the oil industry. He worked for Mobil, and then he worked for, I forget what, I know he worked for Mobil for a while. Then he went to work for Hess. And he worked himself up through the ranks, and he worked directly for Mr. Hess. And he worked with me on the soundboard, and he would come chasing up out of the city, and he would come to choir rehearsals, and he would work on the board with me on Thursday nights. It was a sacrifice for him. For years, he did that. And I'd see him there at the board, and I'm running back and forth singing in the choir and all of that, and he's sitting there with his BlackBerry doing work and communicating, and it got to the point where he had to step down. And I said, hey, man, you got to do what you got to do because your family comes first. And then, you know, your job and so forth. But he was not spending enough time because he was flying around in private jets with Hess. And he was the national fuel coordinator for the company. and he was transacting business in multi-millions of dollars in shiploads of crude that was coming in and out of various places. And he said to me one time, he said, you know, there are many that are much brighter than I am. He said, I don't even understand it, but God has opened these doors for me, and I'm walking through. He's like a senior vice president, still is today, at Hess, and worked his way up. Of course, Mr. Hess passed away, but he's been given favor, major favor, because he spent his time investing in the church, his time and his finances. And even today, you know, every now and then he sends in these, I call them major checks, because he makes major money. Not chicken feed. He makes major money. But God has blessed him. And it wasn't because, as he says, it wasn't because of my talent or ability. And yes, he's bright. He's an MIT graduate. He's very bright, but as he said, there were a lot much brighter than me, even though he was bright, even though he had the credentials. Favor will open doors and put you in places that you're sitting there going, how'd I end up here? How'd I get here? But God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But God. Oh, yeah. You know it. So with man, it's impossible. Even that, it's impossible to get places just with your education. It's not possible with man, but it is with God. With him, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to sometimes just meditate on the simplicity of the gospel, because in it there's power. Philippians 4:13. Just reading these scriptures here. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, how? Through Christ. This is, again, looking to him, trusting in him. Through Christ, which does what? Which strengtheneth me. That means empowers. He empowers. Let me read some other translations. This is called the Lovett, Lovett translation, Philippians 4:13. There is no situation which can overwhelm me now. Amen. There is no situation. That's the King James says, I can do all things through Christ. This says, there is no situation that can overwhelm me now. Yes, sir. The Barclay translation, he who fills me with his dynamic power has made me able to cope with any situation. How can I cope with something? To be strengthened with might, where? In my inner man. How many have been able to walk? What does it say? It says the strong spirit of a man is able to do what? Sustain him. But a broken spirit, who can bear? That means a weak spirit. Who can hold up under that? You can't. But how many have been able to go through and walk through very difficult situations? Why? Because I'm strengthened inside with his power, with his might. Where does it say? On the inside. Here's the Amplified. It says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. This is the Amplified. You may want to read that. I have strength, Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. And then in brackets it says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. It says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Amen. That means this inner strength is what's going to carry me and be and cause me, enable me, infuse me to do what? Cope with things that are not possible for man to cope with, but what? With God, I can cope with it. I have the strength to deal with it. Yes. Yes. See, not in my own strength, but in his strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn to Hebrews. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's look at verse 14, 15, and 16. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let me ask a question, then I'm going to make a point. Let me read verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly, that means confidently, in faith, persuaded. Come therefore boldly unto what? The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let me ask this question. Do you think Jesus was tempted to quit? Oh, yeah. He was tempted to quit. He was tempted to pull the covers up and not get out of bed. He was tempted to just throw it aside and say, this is too much. He even said so in the garden. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. So he was tempted to quit. But he was strengthened in order to continue. And so this, let me read some other translations of Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. The Barclay translation, we must then fearlessly and confidently come to the throne of grace, and then we will find mercy and grace to help us in every situation when we need them. So whenever, what ought to be when I get to the place of not wanting to continue? What should I do? Whine? Cry? Give up? No, it says, come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace that what? That we may find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. I want you to turn to a couple of scriptures here. You can write them down or turn to them. Look to a couple of scriptures. Luke chapter 2. And look at verse 40. Luke chapter 2, because this grace, where is this grace going to affect? What is it going to affect? I want you to see this. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. It says here, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. This is Jesus here talking about. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Galatians 6 and look at verse 18. It's the last verse in that chapter. Galatians 6 and verse 18. It says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Spirit. Be with your spirit. Hallelujah. So here's another one. Let me bounce back here. Go to Luke again. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. And it says, this is Jesus after he came into, I believe it was Nazareth. And he came into the temple and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and so forth. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Most of the other translations say, if you can look at them, New International, most of them say, the words of grace. Where did those words of grace come from? Or we could say, like, where do words of faith come from? Your spirit. Where do words of grace come from? Your spirit. And so the grace of God strengthens your inner man to be able to cope so that you can face the situations in life. So this mercy and this grace impacts and infuses my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something that you can think about. I'm just going to read through these scriptures for the last few minutes here. You can turn to them. I'm going to go quick. Or you can write them down. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 2. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. That sounds like today. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Who am I trusting in? The Lord. Psalm 32 and verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Glory to God. Psalm 34 verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Glory to God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Why? Trusting in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Let me read this in a couple of other translations, in a God's Word translations, in Psalm 37:5. It says, entrust your ways to the Lord, trust him, and he will act on your behalf. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The New Living Translation, it says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah. He will help you. Psalm 84, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Hallelujah. Psalm 115, verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's verse 9. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Kind of makes me think of these movies, God's Not Dead. Yes, sir. I trust in him. Glory to God. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. You know, it makes me think about in Psalm 2, when it says all of them got together and they said, let us, you know, cast them aside. What does it say in Psalm 2? I kind of like the way it reads. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against who? The Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Oh, yes. Ha! Huh. Those that trust in the God, in our God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he what? He will direct your paths. Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh, yes. When things don't look too good, put your trust in him. It says here, we'll be safe. Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm just going to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, yes. He's leading me. Because why? I'm trusting him. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those that trust in him. Do it in the Amplified. Go right ahead. You can read it. Since you're excited and you got it, go ahead.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
To feed, to guide,
yeah.
And to shield me.
Yeah.
And I shall not want.
Yeah.
He lets me lie down in green pastures.
Yeah.
He leads me beside the still and quiet waters.
Yeah.
He refreshes.
Oh, yes.
And restores my life.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadows of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod protects and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Yeah.
You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil.
Oh, boy.
My cup overflows. Yes. Surely.
Yeah.
Goodness and mercy.
Yes.
And unfailing love.
Yes.
Shall follow me
all the days
of my life.
Yeah.
And I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord.
Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. He refreshes and comforts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He refreshes and comforts my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's say that as we close. I am blessed because I trust in God. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I like what that said. When you walk through sunless or sunlit valleys. That means there's no light. It's dark. It's dark. He comforts. Hallelujah. He refreshes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And his unfailing love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful for you. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We love you. We love your word.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for your presence.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. We're so grateful for you. Thank you for your love towards us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.